Okay, so as we begin our class, does anybody want to have any other comments concerning the difference between faith and hope? I know that Faye had a comment to make, however she decided to teach class this morning in another room. So, but anyway, anybody else? Okay, one other step that we talked about doing, who wants to share their study on looking up scriptures that had both faith and hope in them? I see Diane. Diane's working. I only have seven, so if you got ten, then you're... But mine's not exhaustive either, so... But ones we looked at last week was 1 Corinthians 13:13, Romans 5:2, and Colossians 1:23. Do you have another one, Diane?
I think one that you may not have included is Hebrews 10:23, because it says faithful instead of the faith. Just hold that to the confession of our hope, and then it goes on to say he promised he's faithful.
Yes.
So I include that.
You include that. All right. Very good. Very good. Charlie? I know your dog ate it, but I thought maybe you could remember one.
Yeah, I looked at my Bible and I typed in both those verses. I got a list of verses where both words are used in the same verse. And like you just said, the dog ate it.
Yes. You didn't bring it, okay. Okay. Anyone else? Mr. Harrison? I guess not. All right, I have 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor, of love and steadfastness, of hope. And then I have 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love and a helmet, the hope of salvation. 1 Peter 1:21, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. So those are the ones that I have. Anybody have anyone else? Anything else? All right then. Let's move on to something else. Faith is a means to a beginning. So when a believer chooses for the first time to believe and have faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are starting a brand new way of life. So faith, in essence, is a means of a beginning, a brand new beginning for each and every one of us as we've moved on. So let's take a look at faith and let's ask some questions here. Number one, is faith a choice? Do we have a choice? Okay, anybody have a scripture that can help us with that? Joshua 24:15. Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, faith is a choice that Christians make in believing that Jesus Christ was crucified and that he rose again, and that he is the one and only Son of God. You know, every day we wake up as believers, and we must choose to stay devoted to God. How easy is it for us to choose that faith, to choose to stay devoted? Is it something that we all struggle with, or that we can struggle with? Yes.
Hopefully, we don't. We all aren't struggling with that question.
Yes.
Some of us might be, but everybody has faith in something, whether it's a biblical, godly faith, or faith in their own abilities, or faith in their children, their job, their whatever. But a godly faith is definitely a choice that hopefully.
Hopefully it would not be a hard one to make. When we get up each morning, we can choose the direction we're going to go for that day, are we not? Do we not? We can make the choice of today that, it's the Lord's day. Why don't we, it's such a beautiful day, why don't we just go ahead and go out hunting or fishing or whatever. Make that choice. Does that mean our faith is weak? We have a weak faith if we're able to do that?
It means you need to work on it.
And we all do need to work on it. And like I said last week, this is a participation class. Everybody's a little bit quiet today. So let's make sure that everybody is participating. It makes the class, for me, go a lot better. But anyway, any other comments? Yes, Linda.
Well, in my concordance, I don't have Joshua 24:15 saying that faith. I mean, I can't find it in my concordance. How did you find that?
Choose this day whom you will serve.
Yeah.
That's just.
Under faith.
It's a scripture that I've used a couple times when making announcements a couple years ago, thinking about the choice that we have to be here and whatnot, and I thought about it, about my faith. Every morning I get up, I can choose. I can choose whether I'm going to serve the Lord today, or I can choose whether or not today is a good day to do something else, and my demeanor and my actions. And so I think my faith in God and the hope that I have in eternal life helps me make that choice.
I'm totally for that. I just don't know how I wouldn't be able to find it before under faith or faithful or faithful.
Yeah.
So.
Vicki first. Other opinions, but your faith then is what keeps you strong. Your faith is what tells you that this is the right thing to do. The hope that you have, the faith that you have, your mom dies, you decide not to go. A lot of people would say that you lost faith. You lost hope. Ted, and then I'm going to come back to Greg.
I think Jesus put classification on faith all throughout his ministry. Oh, you got a full faith, and then talk to others who healed, and they tell them your great faith is saved. I think what we would all say is the apostles' faith. It was little when Jesus told them it was, but then they are the apostles who spread the word, and see that their faith did grow. So there is a change in faith there, even Jesus classified it himself.
Good trip. Good.
Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Noah did this, by faith, Rahab did this. And so they were all making choices. So yeah.
Yep. Very true. Did everybody hear that? That in Hebrews 11, where it talks about everybody with faith, you know, Rahab did this, Noah did that. They were making choices by their faith, so choices are made every day.
If you go to the negative, in Genesis 4, talking about Cain and Abel, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. God had no regard. So Cain became angry and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. So it's not only just having faith that God is, but that God's way is the only way. And that sin, that's the thing I think we forget the easiest, is that sin is crouching at the door. It's just waiting there for you to start not doing what God says that you're supposed to do. And having faith in what God says to do is ignoring the sin that's crouching at the door.
Because the devil will tempt us in many different ways. And if we stumble at all in our faith of in weakness of faith, the devil can step right in. Yes, sir.
I think the example was it Thomas that said, "Hey, I'm not going to believe that Christ rose unless I put my hands where unless I
the nails were."
Because the way he didn't have faith that Christ was who he said he was and what he did, but Jesus said it's greater. Think of those people that believe that didn't have the experience of putting their hands in the hand and look at all that, So in a way, thank goodness for us today because we didn't have that physical look, but we believe that's why we're here.
That's right. Right. So with this belief and hope, and if we look at Thomas not having faith, or his faith was weak at the time, did he have faith before that? When he was with Jesus, did he have faith? Did he have that hope? Did he have faith? Was he believing what Jesus was saying? And so at what point did he lose it? Mm-hmm.
Jesus was saying, I gotta die, I'm gonna be raised, and they're saying, yeah, but they didn't quite, nobody's done that before, and yeah. You can't really expect it. Then when he did it, he saw all this, and his faith was probably stronger than him.
Very true. Marty.
I think our faith is weakened is when we start to depend on ourselves and think we can make decisions without having faith that God knows more than we do.
Very true. Very true. Everybody hear that? And Bruce.
I was looking in Luke 22 when Jesus told Peter that you're going to deny me three times. But I pray for you that your faith will not fail you. So when you turn again and come back and strengthen your brothers, that you are going to deny me three times. But your faith may not fail you, but you're going to fail me.
Right. And not like was said, not understanding the whole program that they were all involved in, and they had faith in what they were teaching and what they were doing, but it turns out at times to be very weak at times, and so what took over in Peter's situation that I see is that all of a sudden that fear that something bad is going to happen, the same thing is going to happen to me. And so the denial is easier than staying strong within the faith. And so that's what we have to work on sometimes too. We are not persecuted like other countries are and like people in the first century were. We don't have to have somebody, well, at this particular time, it might get there, but at this particular time, we don't have to have somebody walk up to us and say, you know, denounce that Jesus is the Son of God or I'm going to kill you. And we don't have to deal with that. And I think that's one of the things that maybe Peter was looking at too, is they just crucified Jesus. So if he says, I'm a part of Jesus, what's going to happen to me? And so he had faith, but it was weak at that particular point. Any other comments? Is faith a promise? Well, I think in Hebrews it says that faith is the assurance. Faith is I think Hebrews 1 says that faith is the assurance. Faith is the promise of things hoped for. Over in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Faith and belief, right? So isn't that a promise if we have faith?
It's two different faiths. You've got God is faithful.
Which we will get to.
The faith there is that God is faithful. God's faith is truth. Our faith wavers, or he wouldn't have been able to tell Cain, you missed the mark, you need to go back to me. So there's God's faith and there's our faith. God's faith does not waver. It's a promise. But our faith is not.
I agree with that, but now I have to stand up because of what I put up there. But I think that if we have faith, that God is going to deliver to us what he said he's going to deliver to us, then us having that faith is a promise to us. I see nobody really...
Yes, but... We're not faithful. That's the problem. God is faithful. And we can, when you have a tough time, like Vicki was talking about, and you waver and you step away and you go the wrong direction, when you come to yourself again, which is the new beginning, you say, okay, God's right. I know I'm going down the wrong path. I need to be faithful again. So God's faith never wavers, but ours, I'm afraid,
does. Right. Well, our faith guarantees us the fulfillment of God's promise to us. So in that, very much so what you're saying is very true. I just think that with our faith, if our faith remains strong, then that is a promise to us by having that faith.
Yes.
But, well, yes. Yeah, it is a big word, but I realize that, but, you know. So anyway, any other comments? Vicki, go ahead. I know you're going to get me today, okay.
I want to say a small thing. When Carol said faithful again, I think I don't agree with that in my situation because I think, after what Ted said, to me it made it seem like he was saying at all, but there's almost degrees of faith. Like little faith. I think I just had a little faith. It's not that I wasn't faithful and I had to be faithful again. I just think people go through bad times and anyway, that's just all I wanted to say.
We could go on the human side of that then too, if we wanted to go there. Our faith in God, if we stopped believing in God, then we don't have little faith, we have no faith. So, I think there is a degree of faith, yes, little faith, strong faith, but in your situation that you were talking about, mom passed away and so you decided to stop going, I don't think you had little faith. If you actually stopped believing that it was worthwhile and stopped believing that promise, you had no faith. Right? You were at little faith, and you still believe that there was a promise, but you just didn't really care.
I didn't care at the time.
Right. Okay. Linda.
communicated and told a lot of different things about who God was and what he would do. So I had absolutely no faith in this up there. And then when I was baptized and started attending and started reading, my faith started happening, and it is continuing to grow and grow and grow. And I have faith.
Good.
I think in Romans 10:17, it says, he that believeth, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our faith grows because we get into his word and we study and we learn and we get involved and we teach and we come to church and we put ourselves in his word, and that's what increases our faith. And, you know, by that our faith increases.
Correct. And I keep thinking, I don't know what part of the lesson we'll talk about it, but I keep thinking about people that say they believe in God, but yet they say because he's a loving God that he wouldn't do anything to hurt anybody. And so if I believe in God, because the Bible says if I believe, I can be saved, so all I have to do is do that. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. I don't need to be baptized for the forgiveness of my sins. I don't have to do anything. And so what do they have hope in and faith? What? The faith is in the world, yeah. So no matter how when we look at this faith and with or this hope that you said that they have hope in the same thing we have. What I just don't know what is their faith in? Their hope is there. Their hope is eternal life and whatnot, but the faith is in what?
Well, I think it's clear that as human beings, we sometimes entertain two diametrically opposed ideas within us. That doesn't mean that one of those ideas is gone and we swapped it for another. Look at James, the first chapter. He says, my brethren, hold not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons. So you have people who have faith in Christ, but at the same time, they were entertaining the notion that you could have respect to persons. And what he does in the end of James, the first chapter, is he says, wait a minute, those two things are mutually incompatible. You're going to have to rectify this situation. You can't have both of those. So, to say that they had respect for persons, did that mean that they no longer had faith in God? No. To say that they have faith in God and they would not have respect for persons, well, that's not a true statement either, because they were doing it. So what we have to do is see that a struggle that we go through constantly is trying to bridge into agreement all of the ideas that we entertain. And the primary idea is faith in God. Everything else has to be brought into agreement with faith in God. So I always start with faith in God. And then I worry. Well, I look at Romans, the first chapter. He says there are people who deep down what God has shown them, they know that this is true, that there is a God,
Mm-hmm.
Well, they read it down in some translations. I believe it's the American Standard says they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And I think that's what we sometimes do. You know, I know that there's a God, but the events that I'm seeing around me are so hard for me to bring into agreement with the fact that there's a God, that what I do temporarily, at least sometimes, is I just say, well, there's not a God. And I'm just going to reject that one because this other one seems to be a more powerful notion at the time.
Because it fits me at the time. Right.
It seems to explain everything that's going on around me in the world. And we struggle with that. I don't know of anyone who has not struggled with that concept at one time or another, that I believe that there's a God, but I'm looking at the world around me thinking, God wouldn't do this. I think about the Jews that were in the Holocaust that had to go through what the Germans were doing to them and had to struggle with the idea that there still is a God and God is in control. I would have struggled just like I'm sure that they did.
I think, at the very beginning of this class, we talked about, faith and hope and how difficult it is to put it together like a puzzle, to understand what level of faith we have, what level of hope we have, how they fit together. I think that's when we ended the class last week with what was the difference between faith and hope. I mean, there at times there's such little difference, but then at times there's such big difference. Can one be done without the other, as it said on the bottom there? Without hope you have no faith. So there's a struggle in life, definitely. So any other comments on that one?
Faith of promise. Not a promise in the fact that if you believe in God, then you have the promise if you follow. But no.
Okay. And I very much see where everybody's coming from. To me, as I looked at it, I felt that as long as I maintained my faith, that faith held a promise. Very, very, very much so. But that type of faith holds that promise. So, anyway. Okay? Carol.
It's back to the understanding the word and to depend on the word of God. And if your faith is depending on the word of God and not your think so, then what you're talking about is your faith is strong because you are following God's word.
Right. Okay. So, is God faithful as we get to that point then? Oh, Debbie, comment?
Oh, I was just going to say, I have a belief in God, but he doesn't think the Bible is, through the years it's been changed so much that you have no idea if he even believes anything it says. And yet he says he believes in a God, but, and you get your faith through the word, you don't understand it.
Yeah.
You can't help, or it seems like you can't help, to know there is a God just by looking at the world and all the things. And of course, a lot of people don't believe in creation, they believe in
the big thing. Yeah.
So, but that is something that I don't know how to address or talk to him about, because, I believe there's a God, but I don't think the Bible is. Through all the years of change, I can't believe anything yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think next week, we're definitely not going to get to it this week, but next week we're going to get into the evidentiary nature of faith, the Christian's faith, the evidentiary way, the history of it all. And I, And when I was talking about the people that say, you know, I believe there's a God, but, you know, we don't have to do this, we don't have to do that, because he sent his son to die for me, blah, blah, blah. You know, I asked him, have you ever read what God did to Uzzah? Was that the most, to me, pretty innocent thing to do, right? That anyone at that time was a pretty important thing in their history. He struck him dead, just like that.
David went and they showed that he and others couldn't. The word is irrefutable proof of God. Just believing in God.
Yeah, just believing in God alone. That's right. So you have to believe in God's promises. You have to believe in what he tells you to do and what he asks you to do and how to serve him appropriately. Very much so. Any other comments before we go to God? Is God faithful? So Vicki, is God faithful?
You're welcome.
Absolutely, and I were talking about this before.
Okay. Very true. Very true. Any other scriptures? I have a couple scriptures. I think. I'll just put what I've got of where his faithfulness is to us. I think he is our protector. He's faithful in that way. Charles?
Yeah, 2 Timothy 2:13 says, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful."
Absolutely. He will always be faithful, right? Right. It's up to us to follow that. It's up to us to follow what he wants us to do through his, you know, through our obedience. That's how we need to live, is obedience to his word. Correct? So I think there's numerous scriptures and he's our protector. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one in 2 Thessalonians 3:3. You know, we all know about 1 Corinthians 10:13. You know, he's not going to tempt us more than man can hold. Does that mean that because we're human and he knows that, say right now we're kind of sitting in the middle, that no temptation is going to come to us that we really can't deal with? I mean, in our lives, are we going to deal with temptations? Are we going to deal with issues that are going to be difficult to deal with? Does he give us a way of escape through all of those, even though we might not know how to handle it at that time?
You still choose.
That's not the time to run. It's time to be strengthened. Time to call on your faith. Time to call on the fellowship that we have with one another. We're having issues. Isn't that a good thing to do, that if all of a sudden we find ourselves becoming weak? Isn't that a good thing to do? Sure.
Yeah. When you say he always provides a way out of temptation, that doesn't mean that your circumstances are going to necessarily change. You take the Holocaust, the circumstances weren't going to change, but your faith in him and the way that you relate to what's going on will change, and he will strengthen you to face what you have to go through, not necessarily change the path that you're walking down.
That's very true. When you look at it that way, I mean, there was nothing they could do. They could look to him and say, okay, where's the escape here, right? The escape was in him. And how you felt. about him. Okay. Any other comments on that? Okay, so the last one I had there was that he loves us. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him, in Deuteronomy. Anyway, any comments before we go on? This is not necessarily a question. It's just something that I kind of thought about. The fruits of our faith show in our service, right? And how we serve God, how we serve others. Yes, no? Seems how one of my comments today was not right, but...
Well, I think that goes back to your reference to Joshua.
How I'll choose today?
James has been steadfast in telling us that our faith is shown by what we do, not by what we believe always. There's a lot of people out there that believe in God, but don't do anything about it. Are they showing any faith whatsoever? And Joshua knows... first you read shows that choose this day who you will serve. Well, Joshua's making a steadfast proclamation of his faith by serving the Lord, by doing what is to be done, what God has commanded him to do. If you're not doing, then you're not showing your faith, and then what good is your faith?
Right. If you ever wonder or question about your faith, don't you just stop and examine yourself. So, if you're helping those in need, if you're actively serving in the church, these are the kind of things that you should be doing with the faith that you have and the fellowship you have one with another. Your faith includes all that. So, the faith, the thing that I was looking at, the fruit of our faith is serving. We serve God, but we're also commanded to serve others too.
I go back to what I said. God told Cain. The fruit of his sacrifice was not correct, and God said that if you just change what you do, your countenance will change. It's so hard, but so simple that God says you missed the mark, re-aim, refocus, and that will be rewarded. That will show you that your works are right,
right.
Not that your works are wrong.
Right. You just missed the mark. Right. Any other comments? The Romans, I have down there Romans 12:2. Transform the renewing of your mind. You just, you know, it's all part of how you choose to serve God, how you choose to serve others. And our faith is has to do a lot with how we do that. And our faith in God and how we feel that we need to serve Him and to serve others. Comments? Okay, another real simple question that this take about 2 minutes. Your faith, will it be tested? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Will we fail a test every now and then? So does it mean we don't have faith? I think that's what everybody's saying. Just because we fail doesn't mean that our faith isn't there. It's just that we just took a different direction. We missed the mark. Picked yourself back up. And
it's different from temptation. There, James says, God does not tempt anyone. Each one is tempted. But he's drawn away and enticed. I would want to be excommunicated with the Catholic Church.
Yeah. Well, with the knowledge that we know now, right. But if you're raised in it, do you know any different? Yeah. Right. So I guess the one example that, did somebody have their hand up? The one example that I, you know, the whole book of Job. You talk about someone that was really tested. You know, he loses his family and then what great friends he had, right? Come along and telling him it was all his fault and it was because he did something wrong. And did Job ever lose his faith in God and what God had promised him? We could lose everything, but God's promise is still going to be there.
I wouldn't say that Job lost his faith. I'd say that he was faithful, but we can see by the attitude that God gives him at the end of the book that Job's faith did somewhat waver. he may have started to decline. Not that he was not believing in God, but that he started to question God.
And do we blame him? We use Job as that example, but I mean, I start thinking about everything that happened to Job there by the end of the book. Where would my faith be? I think that's, you have to have strong faith, and that's where you rely. That's where you rely on friends and the fellowship we have one with another. And that's one thing he didn't have. He didn't have that group of guys that comes around and said, "Hey, everything's okay. Everything will be okay." And that was his. I don't know. That was his problem. It wasn't his problem, but his friends just didn't help at all.
And Joe, you were talking about him, and I was thinking about him a while ago in regard to his hope. And he said, even though he, meaning God, slay me, I will hope in him. Nevertheless, I will argue my way before him. So he probably, no doubt, did waver at a time, but he still had the hope. He was in a pretty bad situation. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Agreed.
So you can argue the point.
Yep.
And his questioning God here that Job does, if he still has hope, is he questioning God or is he questioning things within himself? God sure put him down, and put him down quick. And where were you when the foundations of the world were laid?
Mm-hmm.
But, which tells you that his questioning was not that he questioned God, but that he's starting to surface there and wavering, as Ted said, just a little.
Right. Vicki. Of your faith strengthens your faith, people around you, and it gives you that endurance to run. And I think whether you feel, I don't know, myself speaking out of turn maybe, but I would think that you have had trials, you have been tested, but I think because of your belief and your faith and how strong it was, that has you continue to move on and move forward. You didn't lose faith, did you? You might have got weak a little bit, but in real life it gets weak and then it moves on. Anyway, I'm going to be moving on. The last thing that I had is lack of faith creates loss. And that's if you have a lack of faith, anything you ask of the Lord, you may not get. More than likely will not get. And so what you lose is you lose what God's offering to us. But anyway, what I want to start with next week is I want to start talking about the nature of faith. And we'll look at the human side of it, and we'll look at the Christian side of it. I thank you for everybody's participation. Makes the class go a whole lot easier for me. And I appreciate it when you all tell me that my thinking might be a little wrong. It's okay. So anyway, thank you for your participation. Thank you for being here. And class dismissed.